Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
We can have our homes in order. We can have the most beautiful family ever. Finances can be totally on top of the world. Life can be great. But there are still weak areas in our faith, in our life. And for anyone to come and think of themselves more highly than they should is a shame. Because we are all a work in progress. And we all have weak areas.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Join us as Pastor Troy teaches the importance of having faith that has action in your life. Christ said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. Your faith is shown in the fact that you're living according to the principles in the Bible. Does your life reflect that you truly believe God's word? Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7. As we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, A Few Faith Facts.
In Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 14... Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. It's very easy to go, wow, those are three different thoughts. That should have been three different studies. And it could have been. My goal is to try to get through the scripture, but our goal is also to have context. We must remember that Jesus didn't give one nugget of truth, go away, come back and give another nugget of truth, go away the next day and have another one. This is a teaching. God is instructing them in the things that they need to know, because everything is changing. They've heard about this kingdom of heaven, and he's teaching them kingdom principles, living life in the kingdom of heaven, or as a kingdom child. You know, my son, he's 11, and he was doing some lunges, or they're not lunges, I don't know, they're lunging and they're walking. So I'm not going to show you, I would look like a fool, but you kind of step out far and go down, your knee almost touches the ground, then you kind of come back up and you take the next step and you kind of keep going, I guess, as far as you can. So I thought, well, I can do that. When I was younger, I used to just pop down, do some push-ups, do the workout thing, and no big deal. Hadn't worked out in a year. No problem, man. I'm young. Look at that. No problem. So I'm getting a little older now. So I said, all right, we can do this. So I do the lunges, and I do them. You know, do a whole lap. By the end of them, I'm going, yeah, that was a good workout. No big deal, though. The next day, however, I don't know that I've ever gotten those parts of my body sore before. And it really hurt when I sat down. I was like, ah! Everything was painful. Well, what I found out was I had some weak muscles. There were some weak muscles that until I exercised them, until I isolated them, I didn't realize they were weak. Did you know, as Christians, we all have those faith muscles that are weak? We can look good. We can look good in our strengths. We can have our homes in order. We can have the most beautiful family ever. Finances can be totally on top of the world. Life can be great. But there are still weak areas in our faith, in our life. and for anyone to come and think of themselves more highly than they should is a shame, because we are all a work in progress and we all have weak areas. Jesus has been talking about that kingdom that is coming. And he's talked about the Beatitudes, and we went over the internal work of a Christian. Everything that happens inside your heart. Actually, this goes on inside of every heart. The scripture says that eternity has been set in the heart of man. Eternity. We're all longing for something more. But then how we respond to that longing when God reveals himself to us makes all the difference in what direction we begin to head in life. Responding to him or resisting him. And so we talked about the internal work over the course of the Beatitudes, but then we started looking at the outward work, you know, anger, different things that happen in people's lives and what those are. And Jesus is now continuing to speak about outward things that should be a part of the life of a kingdom kid. And today I'm wrapping everything in the context of faith, because we need to have faith in order to do these things, in order to put value on these things we're going to talk about today. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In other words, faith is a supernatural assurance of something. You're so assured that it moves you. You're changed by it. You believe it to such a degree that there is an action called faith. You believe it and you move as a result of it. You can't just, faith isn't just believing it. There's a movement. There's a reaction to it. If you have faith, there'll be evidence that you have faith. If I were to say right here, in 20 seconds, a bomb is about to go off. There's a bomb right here in this sanctuary. In 20 seconds, it's about to go off. And if I said it with a serious tone, I proclaimed it to you, then you, if you had any sense at all, would take off. Based upon my reactions, you would take off. You would get out of here. You'd get as far away. You might be counting in your mind, 20, 19, 18, 17, running as fast as you could to get away. Whether you saw the bomb or not, it'd be based upon my word, what I said. But you would run as far away, even though you hadn't seen the bomb. That's faith. You didn't see the bomb. You heard me say something, and you responded because you believe, but the faith is shown in the fact that you went. You left. A reaction was produced. Now, if I have a reputation for joking and for lying, and then you might just sit here and laugh. You might not run. You might never come back. But if I have a reputation for telling the truth, you say, Troy is never kidding about these kinds of things, then you would take me seriously. Well, see, our faith is in the Lord, in His Word. His Word is real. If you test His Word, you'll find He doesn't lie. He doesn't kid around. He's not joking. He means what He says, and He backs up what He says. God is real. You can't see him, but you can see the effects of the facts that he's real. You can look. The heavens declare the glory, the scripture says. Men will be without excuse because there's enough evidence just by looking around. Then there's changed hearts. And then there's your own personal heart. You know there's conviction. Where does that come from? Dogs don't have it. Animals don't have that. We have it. Eternity has been set in our hearts. We know there's something more. Then there's the Holy Spirit of God who convicts our heart. And we know when he's doing it. And we can resist it or not. But to respond the right way is to respond by faith. Even though we don't see things, we believe and it moves us. We need to understand that God is here right now. He sees everything about our lives, but he sees our hearts too. We sang those lyrics in the song, "To your heart, heart, to your heart, to your heart, to your heart." Everything we do is to lead us to his heart. We can be the greatest servants here in this church. Like I said, greatest family, greatest whatever. You can be on just great, moral, such great morals. But you can do all of that without God's heart, without His heart. But God, everything He does for us is to develop in us His heart. If we do those things and don't have His heart, we've missed it. So He challenges us. He humbles us. He puts us in situations we go, oh, this doesn't look right. Like, think of this church. I love the fact that there's variety. I try to dress neutral so that we can be whatever God brings. We should be a place where sinners, when they come in, don't go, oh man, I can't go here. I have to have a tie and I have to have my hair a certain way. At the same time, we should never make someone who wants to come in a tie and give their Sunday best to the Lord. I encourage that. They should be able to feel comfortable to do that too. We're all in different places, but we should come here with a heart to please God. So if you came prepared just to show something, that's not the right heart. But if you came to honor God, then that's the right heart. And some people don't have the same clothes as other people. So I love the fact that there's variety here, right here and now. Faith is willing to accept that God is doing different things in different people, but that God is doing something in me. And I'm concerned about what God is doing in me, not in everyone else. Scripture says that each has been given a measure of faith. So our faith, as we exercise our faith, as we trust God and follow Him by faith, should grow. In other words, what we can let go of in this world, we should be able to let go of more and more stuff by faith, as we grow in faith. Not everyone's at the same place, but as we grow in faith, we should be able to. We should also be willing to do more things for the Lord. Sacrifice for the Lord by faith, as we grow in our faith. It's just what I see in the lives of those who follow the Lord. If you have faith, there'll be a few things that change or increase in your life. And we're talking about those things today. One, prayer. If you have faith, prayer will become meaningful, essential to you. Not just an exercise, not just five times a day, not just I do my bedtime and my morning prayer or following some mantra. It'll be critical because it's communication, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Also, your actions and your attitudes towards others should change. You won't see them the way that you see them. Everyone's weird to us. To me, everyone's different than me. People who dress better, they're weird. Oh, they're extreme. Everybody, I'm the middle person. But our actions and attitude toward others should change. And then finally, believing God and taking Him at His word. That should change. As a servant of our Lord, we shouldn't start playing with the word, going, well, I don't know that it means, I don't think it means that. We need to take Him at His word, and our ability to take Him at His word and put our faith in His word will change as we grow in our faith. And so Jesus says in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? First thing we need to take note of is the fact that Jesus is sharing with a group of people who've always seen God as very distant. I mean, their ancestors, I mean, they heard about the time on the mountain where God said, I'm going to speak to the people, Moses, make sure they're clean. And it was thundering. And the people finally said, no more. We can't. You listen to Him, Moses, and then you speak His words to us. They were very distant. Mediator. That mediator was their high priest. And the high priesthood at this time was kind of corrupt. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were so above everybody. I'm glad I'm not like this guy, Lord. So the people had no mediator. But Jesus was here.
to be their mediator. And he begins this process by introducing them. Hey, God, ask him. He's your father in heaven. Father. Wow. I mean, that's like, I love my father. I can approach my father. I can sit on my father's lap. And he introduces him as father. A new concept here of closeness and intimacy. The desire of God's heart all along for his people is that closeness. Sin separates us from him. He doesn't hate your sin because I like these things, I don't like these things. And so if you do those things, you're just going to hell. It's because sin comes between you and him, us and him, that he hates sin so much. And so because it corrupts, he wants us to put off all of those things that hinder us and separate us from him. And so he begins by telling them, hey, your father wants you to come to him and ask, seek, and knock. It begins with the idea of asking. Ask and it will be given. Now, this isn't an open door. Hey, just once you ask God, it's yours. You got it. Well, Lord, give me. We've heard those kind of prayers. I claim it, Lord. I claim it in the name of Jesus. And whatever's going to work for me, I claim it and I want it. That's not what he's saying, that we can just claim everything from the Lord. There are things that we ask for that we don't know. My children, I knew there were things that they would ask for. They could come to me, and I knew they didn't need that thing. They didn't need a penny to put in the outlet. That would hurt them. I understand that. And so I don't give them certain things, but my children have learned that when they need something, they need to come to me and ask. I'm their father. I have that authority, and I have that ability to give to them. 1 John 5:14-15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So if we're walking close to the Lord and our heart is set on the things his heart is set upon, the odds are the things that we're going to start to ask for will also be the things that he wants for us anyway. So the key in having a successful prayer life, successful in the sense that a lot of prayers are being answered, is to get close to the Lord and have his heart. And then God says, I want to give you the things that I'm putting in your heart. I want you to have those things. But here's the idea. Not will we get this or will we not get this. The idea Jesus is speaking about here is go to the Lord for your needs. Go to him. Have a need. Ask him. Talk to him. This should be our first resort, is to go to our Father. He also says seek. Seek and you will find. The idea here is that we should seek the Lord or go to the Lord for direction. When we are seeking, that's what we're looking for, answers. We're looking for direction. We're looking for guidance. So we seek, and with him, we will find. What is it that we seek for? Well, his heart. We need to know his heart. If we have his heart on matters, we're going to make better decisions, less critical decisions. We're going to be less proud and arrogant for sure. We will certainly be more humble. But we also need to seek his character. There are certain things that we just don't know, which is the Lord. What would the Lord have us do? We need to seek his character. If we understand his heart and his character, we will be different. We will be changed. And we need to seek understanding. There are some things in the scriptures that we need to have the right heart and understanding. When Israel was being taken captive, going into Babylon, he took them captive. He said, hey, I know the plans I have for you. In other words, hey, I'm taking you captive, but I have plans for you to give you hope and a future. But it's almost as if he said, you guys have not been following me. You've not let the ground rested on the Sabbath year, and I'm taking you into captivity. But he said to them, and then you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. It's taken them to a place
where they would finally seek Him with all their heart. They had not been seeking Him. They had just been running on, we're God's people. Ah, we're doing the things the right way. Hey, we got the law. We're doing well. And they lost the heart to seek Him. So many times they cried out, the time of the Exodus, they cried out, deliver us. He said, all right, I'm showing up. I've heard the cry of my people. God wants us to seek Him for direction. He wants to lead us in every detail of our lives if we'll listen and be willing to wait patiently. God's not in a hurry. And then knock. Knock and it will be opened to you. The idea is this, knock. Ask for permission. When you knock, you're not just busting through, you're requesting entrance. You're asking for permission. My children, we're trying to teach them not just to bust through on mom and dad's, in mom and dad's room. That's our room. We're teaching them that, you know, there are spaces that they don't just have free access to. They need to understand. The bathroom, we put locks on those, right? We know there are places that there should be limited access. And so when we want to do things in life, we should commit ourselves and our way to the Lord. Ask Him. See, a lot of the time you'll find that, hey, He's fine with that. But there are times where He says no. He'll close doors. He says, no way. This is not what I want for you, or this will be a distraction for you. This will not be good for you. So He begins to close those doors and reroute us. Faith accepts yes or no. It's not easy to accept no or wait, but if you trust God, it becomes easier. And so we ask God, instead of just thinking we got to figure it out. We're human. We're prone to stray. We're prone to error. We're prone to opinion. And we need to always go before our Father. What kind of Father do you think He is? He's a good one. He loves you. Would He treat you bad? Would He not give you what you need? That's what Jesus is saying here. You, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, don't you? Well, how much more your Heavenly Father? Don't be afraid to ask Him. Don't be afraid to be limited or restricted by Him. Don't be afraid if He says no. It's okay, because He has your best interest at heart. Instead, enjoy when the times that He says yes and He gives you what you need, because then you know it's God. And enjoy those things. Whenever I used to go to my dad, well, actually, nobody wanted to go to my dad. No one in my house, no one in my neighborhood. My dad was just, you knew it was no, and it was an angry no, kind of like, why are you asking me? Do you want me to beat you? You know, like, so when we didn't go to my dad, although later God transformed this hard man from a guy who hated kids, basically, to a man, the kids loved him. Some of you know, because he served in this church. I would have never imagined my dad being a Christian, serving alongside me, as stale as our relationship was. But when God transformed his heart, I mean, kids loved him. Some of you know he was I can't believe kids never loved him. He was so transformed. That's the work of God in life. And so God does those works, and we need to have the faith to trust Him to do those works in our heart and in other people's hearts. And so He says in verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. If you and I will go to our Father and trust Him to take care of us, you know what that frees me to do? Take care of other people. If I'm concerned about me and my family and get ahead for me and I got to get this, then I'm going to walk over people. I'm going to be uncaring about people. I'm going to do whatever it takes to shield and whatever for my sake.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.